Blog Talk Radio.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, a helper he amid the flood of mortal will prevail. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord, Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abide. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, a body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever, his kingdom.
A mighty fortress is our God, written by the great Dr. Martin Luther and sung by Steve Green. Well, my brothers and sisters, welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith, where I, your brother in Christ, your humble servant in the Lord, am in studio to continue with our forensic analysis of a consecration video that's out there on YouTube. It's the consecration of Bishop Lafayette Scales. And I think he should change his name from Lafayette Scales to Lobotomized Scale, because Bishop Scales has no brain. We can call him Lobotomized Scale instead of Lafayette Scales. And we're breaking down this video. Of course, you're getting it in audio format. And this is broadcast number 7 on this particular series. And I've been taking my time, and I've been taking some days off the radio just to let some of you catch up, because I don't like doing programs and people don't listen. So when you catch up, when the numbers come up, and I notice that everybody's caught up, then I'll put a new one out, because I just don't do shows to do shows. I do shows so people can listen and benefit from them, learn from what I say, learn from the instruction, be enlightened. And so I hope and pray that you're benefiting. And now that I see that everybody's caught up, that our numbers are up there, now I'm going to do a new show. And I'll be back in studio tomorrow, because today we're going to talk about the Gold Cross, and tomorrow we're going to talk about the Gold Ring. The Gold Cross and the Gold Ring. And that's what's coming up next in the audio on the consecration of Bishop Lafayette Scales. And my brothers and sisters, let me remind you that if you have not received the ebook, Jackass Church Bishops, it is easy to do so. I will send you a copy of the book. I'll send you a copy of the ebook, and all you have to do is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. freechurchbooks@gmail.com. freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I will send you the ebook edition of Jackass Church Bishops. You're going to want to read it. It's 15 wonderful chapters. You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to get mad, you're going to get full of faith. You're going to want to do something. You're going to want to tell others about these Jackass Church Bishops once your eyes are opened. And some bishops have already received the book and they're shaking in their boots. Brothers and sisters, some of these bishops are shaking in their boots and they need a diaper change because they have soiled themselves. And listen, it's an awful thing when grown men soil themselves in their underwear. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. We've got some, and listen, the soil in your underwears, the soil in their underwears, and you know what I'm talking about, doesn't match their Episcopal wardrobe. Doesn't match. It's not a good combination. I read J. Delano Ellis's little pamphlet from cover to cover, and there's nothing about wearing the cassock and wearing the skull cap and, you know, having all of the Episcopal garb on and also having soiled underwear. Nothing. But listen, I can tell you, numerous bishops have asked for the book, and they're scared witless. They're going out of their minds. So, my brothers and sisters, you can get the book. Also, if you want my other ebook is called Spirit of Python Dunce, Showing How Jensen Franklin's Idiotic Interpretation of Acts 16:16 Proves He Is a Biblical Moron. You're gonna love that book. If you read it, you're gonna love it. And it's volume one of a trilogy, because I wrote a book. The second volume is Spirit of Python Ignoramus, because that's what Mr. Jensen Franklin is. I don't care how many times he's written a New York Times bestseller. He is an ignoramus. So Spirit of Python Dunce is volume one. Spirit of Python Ignoramus is volume two. And Spirit of Python Retard is volume three. In other words, what I intend to show through this trilogy is that Jensen Franklin goes from bad to worse. He goes from bad to worse. If you think he was dumb in Spirit of Python Dunce, wait till you get to Spirit of Python Retard. I mean, you can just see him going backwards, digressing theologically speaking. The guy is a complete moron. Complete moron. And you can have that first volume by simply emailing me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. My brothers and sisters, you know that I'm going to be taking a trip down to Gainesville, Georgia. Gainesville, Georgia. And I already have the postcards made. I have 5,000 postcards made. The 5,000 postcards have on them the picture, the cover of the three books. On one side of the postcard, I have all three book covers. And on the other side, it's telling people how they can get the trilogy for free. I have 5,000 of those postcards made, and I plan to go down to Georgia, Gainesville, Georgia, to be more specific, for an entire weekend to give out these 5,000 postcards. If I can give out 1,500 on Friday and 1,500 on Saturday and 2,000 on Sunday, I would have done my job. And I plan to take with me at least another five guys. So total, it'll be six of us going down. And some of you have already sent in donations for the gas and, you know, for the hotel room. If you like to, if there's someone out there who would like to make a contribution towards that, just go to our website at www.dailymannany.com. www.dailymannany.com, and just click there on any one of those PayPal buttons and just say, here's a little something, here's a little financial offering, whatever it is, we will greatly appreciate it, because I'm trying to put all the monies together and, you know, and make this very important trip. Look, I'm going to give the books away. I'll give them away. But I need some help in getting down to Gainesville. And again, the whole if we give out 5,000 postcards and 5,000 people say, I would like to have the trilogy, we will send them to 5,000 people. And that's how we're trying to – that's – listen, we're just trying to cause a conversation. Why is it that Jensen Franklin refuses to debate me? I don't know why. Because if Jensen Franklin can stand behind his book and everything that he wrote in his New York Times bestseller, The Spirit of Python, I don't understand why he can't put me in my place, why he can't set me straight. It's up to Jensen Franklin to set me straight and say, Mr. Jones, you're wrong, and I'm going to show you where you're wrong. But he can't do that because he's an imbecile. He's a doctrine of demons peddling dimwit. That's what he is. That's what he is. So, again, if you'd like to help us in that endeavor to go down to Gainesville, Georgia. And, again, I will let you know when we're going down. I have to, first of all, I need to recruit another four men to go with me. I need some linebackers. I need some big guys. I need some intimidating. I need some guys with size on them, because when you're doing this kind of work, people can get stupid if you happen to be 5'8". And if you're 5'8", I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, they might pick a fight with you if you're 5'8", but if you're 6'4", they'll think twice. They'll think twice. And I need some big guys with me. First of all, we're going down there to work. We're not hanging out. We're working. We have to give out 1,500 postcards on Friday, an average of 1,500 postcards on Saturday, and the balance to 2,000 postcards on Sunday. We have our work cut out for us. But that's how we're going to step into Jensen Franklin's sandbox and throw some sand in his eyes and tell him, what you going to do about it? And I told you I was already calling him Jenny Franklin. He doesn't deserve to be called Jensen Franklin. He's Jenny Franklin. He's acting like a punk girl. That's what he's acting like a punk. If anybody called me out, I'll debate them. No problem. I stand on the truth. You read my books. There's no error in my books. It's an academic read. You read those books and you learn. I show in all three volumes, I show how idiotic, how imbecilic, how retarded Jensen Franklin's Spirit of Python teaching is. And then he tries to convince us that it's of God because some Jesus gave it to him. Well, it can't be our Jesus, that's for sure. Jesus doesn't traffic in error. And the same thing with these 22 books on the Joint College of Bishops. They are scared witless. They're scared. They don't want any of these books out because they'll know that the party's over. Well, let's get to the audio. You know, listen, I've been taking my time. This is going to be the seventh broadcast on this series about how another moron preacher joins the Joint College of Jackass Bishops. And I'm talking about the same guy. It's Bishop Lobotomized Scales. That's who I'm talking about. Bishop Lobotomized Scales. Jay Delano Ellis must have taken his brain out because this guy wasn't thinking. Bishop Lobotomized Scales. He's got scales on his eyes where he can read, but he can't see what he's reading. He's trying to read, but he can't read. He's got scales on his eyes. And instead of Lafayette, he's lobotomized scale. Not Lafayette scale. Brainless scales. His brain has been taken out. All thanks to the Archiepiscopus Metropolitanus J. Delano, Super Jackass Ellis. So here's the audio. This audio, I think, is going to be a few seconds. We're going to start it at the 7:35 mark. 7:35, and let's listen to what Jay Delano has to say now. We already know they've already put on the monkey suit. They've already put on the vestments. We've already dealt with that aspect of the audio. Let's listen to the second part.
And I put his cross on him. Give me his cross. Come, Bishop. His people got together and gave their gold. Bishop wears a piece of you. What was precious to you is now precious to him.
Okay, so from 7:45 to 8:20, that's 35 seconds. 35 seconds. We just listened to 35 seconds, okay? So now let me take you to J. Delano Ellis's book or his pamphlet. Let me correct myself. His pamphlet, which he peddles as a book. It's not a book. The book is called, or the pamphlet is called, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. On page number 53 of this pamphlet, in the section where he talks about Levitical vestments and code of dress, on page 53, this is what he says about the cross and the chain. He says, the cross and chain should be of precious gold or silver and may be worn by bishops only. Let me repeat that again. The cross and chain should be of precious gold or silver and may be worn by bishops only. The cross is the obvious message of the church for the salvation of the world in Christ. He goes on to say, the cross may have precious stones encrusted in keeping with the bishop's desire. The chain from which it is suspended should be at least 40 inches in length from end to end. The length will allow for the proper wear of the cross with the civic attire. So there you have it. He talks about the cross and the chain. Well, let's think about this for a moment, saints. Let's think about this. Let me pull this back again to 7:45. 7:45. Okay, here it is, 7, and we're going to listen to it to 8:20. It's only 35 seconds, but I want you to listen to this, and then I'm going to break it down. Today we're only doing the cross. Tomorrow we'll do the ring.
Bishop, his people got together and gave their gold. Bishop wears a piece of you. What was precious to you is now precious to him.
So there you have it. There you have it. He's wearing a cross. Okay, well, let's read in Matthew chapter 10, because J. Delano Ellis claims that the bishops of today, the bishops in his organization, the men who are part of his group and the women, he claims that they are successors of Christ and of the apostles. That's the claim, that they are successors of Christ and the apostles. Well, let's read in Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus. He is consecrating his apostles, and it says in Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 1, and when he had called, he being Jesus, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what? A cassock? No. Did he give them a shemiah? No. Did he give them a skull cap, a zucchetto? No. Did he give them, listen, did he give them a tippet? No. Did he give them a coat of arms? No. All this stuff that J. Delano Ellis gave to lobotomized scales, all this stuff that J. Delano Ellis has given to lobotomized scale in this consecration ceremony, you'll be shocked to find out Jesus never gave his disciples. This is what he gave them. And when Jesus had called unto him the 12 disciples, whom J. Delano Ellis and his clown bishops claimed to succeed, he gave them power. Not faggot wear, not effeminate clothing, but he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot also, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, he didn't give them a cross, a gold cross, and a chain. Jesus didn't do that. No, he gave them a command. He said, if any man would want to be my disciple, if any man would want to be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me daily. Not to go get a gold chain and put a gold cross on it. No. No. You see, that's Roman Catholicism. That's pagan Christianity. What Jay Delano Ellis is doing and what Lobotomized Scales is submitting to is paganized Christianity. Jesus didn't give his disciples a gold chain with a gold cross on the end of it. No. Jesus never read listen, it says here in J. Delano Ellis' book, the cross and chain should be of precious gold or silver and may be worn by bishops only. Well, that explains why Jesus didn't have a gold chain and a cross. That explains why Jesus didn't have one. And that explains why his disciples didn't have one. Because only bishops, only jackass church bishops, only lobotomized church bishops will wear a cross, a gold cross, and a gold chain. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Because again, Chief Jackass Bishop J. Delano Ellis, Chief Consecrating Jackass J. Delano Ellis, makes the argument that we succeed the apostles, or that the men in his group and the women in his group, the bishops in his organization, succeed the apostles. Well, it says in Acts chapter 3, now when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried there each and every day, whom the people laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. This was done that he might ask alms of them who entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms of them. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And the lame man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Silver and gold. Peter says, "I don't have any silver." Listen to J. Delano Ellis here on page 53. J. Delano Ellis says, "The cross and chain should be a precious gold or silver, and may be worn by bishops only." Well, Peter didn't have one, because he said to the man asking for donations, to the crippled man asking for donations, he says, "Silver and gold I have none." So I guess when it came to consecrations, as a chief consecrator, Jesus was a cheapo. I guess Peter and John can say, "You know what? We got conned by Jesus. Jesus was our chief consecrator, but Jesus failed to give us what J. Delano Ellis didn't fail to give his bishops. J. Delano Ellis gives his bishops silver and gold." Peter must say, "Oh, wait a minute. I wanna leave Jesus and join J. Delano Ellis' group." Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the man leaping stood up and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Remember, Jesus gave his disciples power. Power, Holy Ghost power. You can keep your gold chain, you can keep your gold cross, you can keep your monkey outfits. I don't want them. I don't want that junk. Just give me what Jesus has to offer his ministers, and that's power. He gave them power. You keep the junk. You keep the Cinderella outfit. You keep the ruby slippers. that Dorothy wore. You keep the stockings and the manicure. You keep all that junk. Keep all that junk and just give me Holy Ghost power. So notice, my dear brothers and sisters, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But J. Delano Ellis is pushing silver and gold. Now, how can J. Delano Ellis be a successor of Christ and his apostles when he is pushing the opposite? He's doing the opposite of what Jesus did. Jesus was chief consecrator in Matthew 10. J. Delano Ellis is chief consecrator. Jesus didn't give his disciples no vestments, gave his disciples no jewelry. Here is J. Delano giving out vestments and giving out jewelry. My brothers and sisters, don't you see the stark difference? Oh, my brothers and sisters, there is a stark difference. Now, saints, one time the Catholic theologian Erasmus was in Rome. And the Pope of Erasmus' day was giving Erasmus, the Roman Catholic theologian and scholar, he was giving him a tour of the Vatican. And he says, look at us, Erasmus, look at us. Remember, Erasmus, when Peter said, silver and gold have I none? But look, Erasmus, look at all of the riches we have obtained. Look at all this wealth. Look at the buildings that we have. Look at the artwork that we have, the priceless artwork. Look at the works of art that are worth millions of dollars. Erasmus, we are filthy rich. We got so much money, Erasmus. And he said, yes, holy. He turned to the Pope. He said, yes, Holy Father. Yes, 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 yes. We have silver and gold in abundance. But Holy Father, one thing we don't have. We cannot say to the lame man, rise up and walk. That we don't have. We have all these riches, but we have no Holy Ghost power. That's what he said to the Pope. He smacked the Pope in the face. And that's what J. Delano Ellis needs to hear, a smack in the face. Well, I want to go back to this audio again. It's only 35 seconds long. It's 35 seconds, saints. I want you to listen to this again because I want you to see where Mr. Lobotomized Scales got this gold from. I want you to hear this. This is very important.
Together and gave that gold.
Now, the poor fools, the poor souls who gave the gold, they're screaming and shouting. They're screaming, they're excited. They got conned. Like their bishop got conned, like Lobotomized Scales got conned. Look, the people gave their gold. Gave it. Well, they gave it because they were asked to give it. It just didn't dawn on them to give it. They were asked to give it. They were asked to, again, sacrifice. How many of those poor black people have already sacrificed? They're paying tithes and offerings. Not only are they paying tithes and offerings, they're giving offerings above and beyond. And now they were asked to just give a little bit more, give sacrificially, scrape up your gold, give so this guy can have a 40-inch chain and a humongous cross around it. I mean, you're talking about a couple of thousands of dollars. Maybe $4,000 in gold hanging on this guy's $4,000, $5,000 in gold, with the price of what the price of gold is today. And this is not some Mickey Mouse chain here. This is not some little thin chain that you need a pair of glasses to really get a look. No. No, this is, my brothers and sisters, this is a thick chain with a huge gold cross. This is big bucks. And his people gave their gold. It was collected so that it can be turned into this gold chain and into his ring. My brothers and sisters, tomorrow we're going to get into the ring, because the ring has its own significance. Listen to this again. That's why we play, that's why we do a forensic analysis. We look at the crime. This is a crime scene. People have been fleeced again. People have been conned again. Listen to this.
His people got together and gave their gold. Bishop wears a piece of you. What was precious to you is now precious to him.
Yeah. Well, let's read about another apostle, one who was not there when Jesus consecrated his apostles in Matthew 10. This is an apostle who was consecrated on the road to Damascus. His former name was Saul of Tarsus. We know him as Paul the Apostle. In saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders, a church that Paul had founded and pastored for 3 years. For 3 years, Paul, he founded this church and pastored this church and was now moving on. He says in verse 32 to the leaders he's leaving behind, he says, "And now therefore, brethren, I commend you to the grace of God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Note, he says in verse 33, "I have coveted no man's silver, no man's gold, no man's apparel." I didn't take anyone's silver, gold, or apparel. So wait a minute. Why is lobotomized scales, if he's a successor of the apostles, why is he doing something contrary? You know, the reason why Paul took no one's silver, gold, or apparel is so that no one could ever blame him for preaching the gospel out of profit. But lobotomized scale had no problem. Had no problem taking the people's gold. He coveted the people's gold. He was encouraged to tell the people to fork over their gold like a Sunday morning stick-up. And the people foolishly gave up their gold. But Paul says here, in verse number 33, "I had coveted no man's silver, no man's gold. You yourselves know that with these hands I ministered unto my own necessities, and not only to my own necessities, but to those who were with me on my team." He says, "Listen, you know how I worked. If I wanted something for me, I worked and I bought it with my own money." That's what lobotomized scale should have done. He should have said, "No, I'm not going to ask these poor people. I'm not going to ask them to give me their gold. That's beneath me. As a successor of the apostles, if I'm going to imitate the apostles, if I'm going to imitate the men in the Bible, the men J. Delano Ellis claims that we follow, I could never ask these people for their gold. Never. Never. Because Paul wouldn't do it. Paul wouldn't do it, nor Peter, nor Christ." So notice, again, another violation of Scripture. Another violation of Scripture. My brothers and sisters, in 1 Peter, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let me read this to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Peter is advising Christian wives. And he says this: likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the lifestyle of their wives, while they beheld your chaste conversation coupled with fear. He goes on to say in verse 3, this is how godly women should dress. This is how godly women should dress. Whose adorning, if you're going to hook yourself up, whose adorning, let it not be with outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So what does Peter say? He says, listen, sisters, listen, you want to win your husbands? It's not about how you look. And listen, Peter is not saying don't fix yourselves up. But you see, if you wear gold, that's not going to attract your husband. Godly women really show that Christ has done a work in them, not by wearing gold, but by being what? It says here, by being meek. By being meek and quiet. By being humble. By being servants. That's how you tell. That, not by, listen, you can't tell a bishop by wearing a skull cap. Well, you can in J. Delano Ellis's group. But all these guys are peacocks. All these guys don't work. In J. Delano Ellis's book, he talks about how you need to get constant manicures. A man who gets manicures doesn't cut his lawn. A man who gets manicures doesn't wash his own car. A man who gets manicures doesn't do dishes at home. A man who gets manicure is a sissified man. He's not a Christ-like man. He's not apostolic in nature. He's a sissified man. That's what he is. If you wear stockings, like J. Delano Ellis tells you how to mix match your stockings with your velvet Episcopal slippers, you're a fag. You went to a charm school. J. Delano Ellis's book is a book for people who go to charm school. Women go to charm school. Sissified women go to charm. Sissified men go to charm school. Peter says to the women, don't wear gold. Put on Christ. Put on meekness. Jesus was meek. Moses was meek. All of the great leaders of Scripture were meek. All of the great leaders of Scripture were humble, and they were all servants. Jesus said, he who wants to be the greatest among you, let him have the biggest chain and the biggest cross. No, he said, he who wants to be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. Now, we don't read that Peter says this to men because, again, my dear brothers and sisters, let me just tell you something. In the days of the apostles, men did not wear gold chains. Men, again, now, if you're talking about Roman men wore gold chains. Yes, they did. But Roman men were sissified men. They were sissified. They didn't work. They luxuriated. They lied down. They put creams on their hands and on their toes. They painted their toenails. That's what they did. They didn't even sit up straight to eat. They lied down. It was women who wore gold. This is why you don't find Peter admonishing the men not to wear gold. Why? Because, my brothers and sisters, real men didn't wear gold. Women wore gold. And Peter even says to those women, he says, be different from the women of the world. If you want to really exhibit Christ, it's not about the gold. It's not about the plaited hair. It's not, no. It's about showing a transformed heart. That's where true spiritual beauty lies. Not in outfits, not in vestments, not in mixing and matching and having the right colors, not in your hats, not in your mitre. Listen, it's not in chains and in rings. It's in exhibiting Christ, having the fruit of the Spirit. So. Who wears gold? Who wears gold? Who has lots of gold? Who has lots of gold? Well, let's read Revelation 17. In Revelation 17, it says in verse number 4, and the woman, referring to the apostate church, was arrayed in purple, just like the members of the joint college, and also in scarlet, just like the members of the joint college, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Listen, let me read to you again. It says here on page 53, it says, the cross and chain should be of precious gold and silver and may be worn by bishops only. He goes on to say, the cross may have a precious stone encrusted in keeping with the bishop's desire. It says here that the harlot church is decked in purple and scarlet and gold and decked with precious stones. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what lobotomized scales has joined. This moron doesn't even realize he's joined the harlot church. Now, let me take you to Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, we get a picture of the Lord's bride, his true bride. It says in Revelation chapter 19, it says in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, not the harlot, but his wife, the true church, have made herself ready. And to her was granted, what kind of garments did Jesus give his bride? Were they scarlet and purple? No. Did it have gold? No. It says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Clean and white. Oh, my brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, as you can see, J. Delano Ellis and his dopey bishops are on the wrong side of history. Now, is this a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. This is Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. We were told that Satan would raise up. We were told that this was going to be, that this was going to take place, that this was going to happen. My dear brothers and sisters, this doesn't take us by surprise. We're reading the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is unfolding before our very eyes. Unfolding before our very eyes. My brothers and sisters, stay away from the Joint College of Bishops. Stay away from Chief Consecrator J. Delano Ellis. Stay away, my dear brothers and sisters, from any church that is pushing Roman Catholicism in the black community. Just stay away, because it's the Church of Satan. Well, my brothers and sisters, that'll do it for today. I'll be back. We're going to talk about the ring. What does the ring signify? What is the ring made of? We're going to see, did Jesus have a ring? Did his disciples have a ring? Who has a ring? Why do they have a ring? What does the ring signify? What is the ring made of? We're going to review all of that tomorrow. I hope that today's lesson was a blessing to you. I hope that it was an eye-opener. And I pray, dear saints of God, I pray that you would email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com and request the book, Jackass Church Bishops. I want to send it to you. Oh, I want you to read that book. I want you to read it. I want your eyes to be open, and I want you to be set free. And I want you to, after being set free, I want you to run out of these apostate churches and don't go back. Love you much in Jesus. God bless you, saints.